by the pond or you sneak up to it or wherever you are and you're blind, and all of a sudden either the ducks go up off the water or a whole flock of them comes winging by. We learn something in a hurry in duck hunting. Just because there's 30 ducks up there, you just don't point the gun and pull the trigger. If you do, you're going to miss them all. You have to single out one particular duck and hope that that's the one you hit. And today we kind of been throwing the hamburger in the fan and just splattering it all over you. And I'm sure you've had many thoughts, many insights, hopefully some principles shared with you, so many perhaps that you're probably, I hope not confused, but maybe overwhelmed a little bit by all the areas that we've gone into. But I would imagine that probably the Holy Spirit has impressed on each one of you one or two particular areas that seem to stand out and seem to be an area of need at this particular time. And I don't want you to think that you can go home and all of a sudden apply all these principles instantly and have, instant marriage, just add water type of a thing. I don't want you to be discouraged. We're all in the process. I have enough inadequacies that the Lord can keep working until He comes, and He's going to have still a big job to do. God's working in my life, and I get discouraged at the progress sometimes I see. But I think we would be remiss if we left this evening without you thinking specifically about some area that maybe God has been impressing on your own heart. One project that you could begin to work on and you could pray that God could move into in your own life and experience. So obviously you can't apply all the truth that you've heard. I can't. I'm not sure anyone can at this particular juncture. But we're involved in a process. We have the confidence that the one who has begun a good work in us will continue to perform it. And I'm sure it would be pleasing to the Spirit of God for each one of us just to think through a little bit the area that maybe God has spoken to you and come to some kind of a conclusion by the grace of God what you need to do in that area. And it occurs to me that there might be some here who have never made the wonderful discovery of knowing Christ personally. Well, if you're in that situation, I can't think of a more tremendous thing to happen to you than you, in simple faith, to commit your life to Christ and allow His love to flow unhindered through your life. To me, that would be the most wonderful thing that could happen to you. Maybe you're a husband who has been convicted a little bit about the need for tenderness, developing this quality toward your wife. And maybe it'd be well for you to think just a little bit about how you can express tenderness and appreciation. Maybe with a wife it falls in the area of really submitting. Not just submitting outwardly, but with a proper attitude of the will toward the husband and acknowledging his leadership and encouraging him in the situation, the job that he finds himself in. Or maybe there's inadequacy in the area of children, where you have made mistakes that you know are wrong and there are right things that need to be righted. Maybe these are the things that God is trying to impress you with. And I really haven't got anything particularly profound to share tonight. I'm not sure I've had anything profound to share the whole time we've been here, as far as that goes. But I do want to suggest 11 or 12 things about turning your house into a home. And this is all I'm going to do. We're not going to take much time in this last session because I know probably you're very anxious to saddle up and ride. Well, let me share some things with you. And maybe if by sharing these things it brings an area into focus for you, maybe that's what God is trying to impress you that you need to go to work on in terms of a project. Because I don't think God has any of us here by accident. He wants to do work in our lives. So these are some suggestions for remodeling your house into a home. And I trust they'll be practical, things that are realistic, and that'll camp close to your experience. First thing I would suggest is to review the status of each member of the household. to be sure that everyone feels that he is a VIP in the family. He can believe in himself because this in-group where he lives likes him, accepts him, and trusts him for himself. And this is something I think we need to do periodically. Review the status of each family member and try and determine, how does he really feel? Does he really feel that he belongs, that he makes a contribution? That the family wouldn't be all that it is if he weren't here? And maybe we're failing here in really encouraging our children and giving them a sense of belonging, or our husband or our wife. Second thing I would suggest is to check the basic structure. Dad is to be the head, with mother transparently supporting him, and the children all sharing responsibilities. Maybe that's the area that your marriage and your home need some work. The basic structure. It's not too late to change. And yet it's sometimes very costly to change. But if you're willing to pay the price, it'll always pay dividends. So maybe husband and wife need to sit down together. Perhaps there need to be some confession and real heart searching before each other and the Lord about failures to each other. Wouldn't it be a beautiful thing if that alone were the result of you being here this weekend? Opening up a new line of communication that has become frozen. So check the basic structure. Then I would suggest scrutinizing family values. A dominant, unifying focal theme is needed. Anything other than Jesus Christ is too weak for permanent cohesion. A personal commitment to Christ backed up with positive reason should be the parental example. At some point, every member should be privately confronted with the claims of Christ on his life. Maybe this is what God's trying to communicate to you. Have you really been faithful in your communication of the basic principles of life that God wants to build into your own life, and particularly the lives of your children? And what about their relationship to the Lord? Have you evidenced any concern about that? Another suggestion would be to develop family pride through accomplishment with skill and talent. Plant the seeds with music lessons, hobbies, good books, etc. Use every ability that God has given you. And that's a very important thing. We had a little orchestra at home. Every one of us kids played some kind of an instrument. And, you know, the Bible says make a joyful noise. Fortunately, it wasn't always too harmonious. But that was a tremendous unifying factor in our home, the fact that our parents cared enough that we learned some musical ability and skill. And we had some tremendous times together on Sunday afternoons, getting around the piano and tuning up and going at it. And our kids, our families need encouragement and artistic ability. And they need to learn that this can be a tremendous way of expressing the very glory of God through the talents and the abilities that God has given to them. Then I would suggest building up the fun side of the family with laughter at mistakes and imaginative recreational pastimes. And this is so important. Get out and play with your kids. Do things with them. Take them places. This is one of the greatest ways to build a wholesome family, is to do things together. It's true that the family that prays together stays together, and it's also true that the family that plays together stays together. A positive, constructive home is magnetic. You know, we need to communicate this to those who don't know the Lord, because so often they think that the Christian is the long-faced guy who gets the sand kicked in his face at the beach. He's the before in all the Atlas pictures, and he's not worth anything else, so and he really doesn't have too many other options, so he becomes a Christian. And you see, most people haven't rejected Christianity. They've rejected a caricature, an imitation. We need homes and families that have this magnetic quality about them that is denying the caricature that so many people have about what it means to be a Christian. Maybe that's what you need to do. Develop a real healthy family situation. In terms of fun and recreation. Then I'd suggest easing up on forced togetherness. Give each one encouragement to be away sometimes. At home, provide privacy to foster personal relationship with God. And let's face it, home life, even though we may all have our own bedrooms and so forth, the kids anyway, can get to be pretty thick and you know, all just everybody on everybody else's nerves. And I think it's good to ease up on this forced togetherness sometimes. I'm afraid in many situations that really isn't the problem. They're hardly together. But particularly when they're younger. And I would suggest here too that it's tremendous just to get the wife away, man, for a weekend. Go away to a motel somewhere and get her away from the family. If you had to live there 8 or 10 hours a day, you wouldn't stand it for more than a week without getting away. And yet she, how long has it been since you took her away and just got by yourselves alone? Then I would overhaul the emotional air conditioning system. I think most homes need to do this. Avoid charging the atmosphere with tension. Keep the home ventilated with positive comments and relaxed attitude. Most of us spend a good deal of our time, as I said earlier, mountain climbing over molehills. We take ourselves way too seriously. And someone has said that humor is a hole that lets the sawdust out of a stuffed shirt. And I think that's true. We need to develop a good, wholesome sense of humor. And that's what I always appreciated about my father. He has a tremendous sense of humor. And we used to laugh and carry on, and he could see humor in all kinds of situations. And almost to the point of some of us having a perverted sense of humor, but be that as it may. Sweep out old grudges like worthless debris. Forgive and forget the past, even as Christ has forgiven you. Do you realize that you become a slave to the person that you can't forgive? And Paul says that we're to go out into our Christian experience in the battle of the world armed with two things. Number one, a clear conscience. Number two, faith. And if we're living and existing without a clear conscience, if there are people, parents, loved ones, wife, husband, that we are harboring bitterness toward, we're a slave to that person. And even if that person were 99% wrong, it's still wrong for you to harbor resentment and bitterness. And you need to go to that person and say to that person, I'm wrong, I'm harboring a bitterness and a resentment, and part of it's my fault, and I want to ask you to forgive me. So that you operate on the basis of a clear conscience. And then what that person wants to do with your approach to him is his business. If he wants to reject it or deny it and doesn't want to respond, then he can continue in that state. But at least you fulfilled your responsibility. And this is particularly true in marriage. And I just know from having this many couples together that there are couples here tonight who are harboring resentment and bitterness toward each other. And the spirit of the marriage itself has been wounded. And this needs to be healed. Now, why don't you humble yourself and go to your partner and confess the fact that you were wrong and don't expect him or her to say anything or to come around and confess their part. You just clear the air as far as you're concerned. And let your marriage be a redemptive marriage. That might be something that would be a profitable experience for you as a result of this weekend. And then I'd suggest that you renew the outlets so that the family is wired for positive communication. Boy, how important that is. A free exchange of ideas without condemnation is essential. This is one of the biggest mistakes that we make, not only between husbands and wives, but with teenagers particularly. We don't let them say. We assume that we know what they're going to say and we've got it all figured out and we interrupt and right away we've got the problem solved. And it's no wonder that they don't want to communicate. And this is so true with husbands and wives. You live together for a while and you think you know pretty well what they're going to say, and before they even get it out, you're not really listening, you're just monitoring the conversation. And as a result, there are a lot of busy signals that are coming through, and we're really not listening and communicating. And I think that you owe it to your teenagers and your children to listen. And when I say listen, I mean listen, not just kind of monitor the thing. But what are they really saying? And I think, quite frankly, that it's just as much marital infidelity not to listen as it is to get involved in an adulterous relationship. Not in the same degree as wrong, but I think that the failure to communicate, the unwillingness to listen, the withdrawing into yourself is a form of marital infidelity. Maybe this is the area that you failed as a husband or a wife. Maybe you're not giving your wife a chance to really express herself. Or wife, maybe you're not giving your husband a chance to get a word in edgewise. That might be the problem. Let's learn to communicate. And you know, one of the exciting things about marriage to me is that there can be a lot of beginnings. And that even though you reach a plateau and you begin to take each other for granted and a little crisis develops, that in the middle of that situation you can begin again and you can discover a greater intimacy and a greater relationship. And the tragedy is when two people build such walls that they're just psychologically and spiritually divorced. It doesn't have to be that way. Then we hinted on this a little bit tonight, or talked about it. Keep the door open to family friends, allowing the fragrance of a virile Christian home to benefit others. It's the old story that impression minus expression leads to spiritual depression. And if you and I are simply taking in truth, we're going to become spiritually depressed. God never intended us to be receptacles of truth. God intended us to be channels of truth. It's the old story, sit, soak, and sour, like we do in most of our churches. Because we never get the truth from our heads down into the shoe leather of our life. And so remember that little equation, impression minus expression. Letting it be lived out through our experience, sharing it, will lead to spiritual depression. So, keep the door open to family friends, because a disease is caught, not taught. And that's what we want to do, is infect people with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then expect periodic spills of immaturity and imperfection. Clean them up with firm, calm, reasonable discipline. Plan a better way for next time. Let out enough developmental rope to allow each individual to weave his own personal image. Maybe this whole area of bringing up your children and disciplining them and being sensitive to their needs and understanding the developmental tasks that they're wrestling with and the changes in their body which they can't understand and some of the things that are happening to them. Maybe you really need to stop and take a fresh look at what it's like to be a teenager. Because just because you're a teenager one day doesn't mean you understand anything about what teenagers are like and what they're facing. Maybe what you really need to do is become a greater student of your children. And the last thing I want to suggest, and maybe the most important, is to allow the Holy Spirit to make you authentically like Christ. No artificial front can stand the daily erosion of home life. What you are is far more important than what you say. And I think that ought to be the desire of every one of us in general, to have the Holy Spirit allow the Holy Spirit to make us authentically like Christ. You know, we all claim that we want to be happy. And yet, in reality, most of us don't want God to love us. We want Him to be kind toward us. But see, God wants to make you a masterpiece for His gallery in eternity. And yet we, in essence, say to God, well, God, I just want to be a thumbnail sketch. Work me over in a hurry and put me up on the wall. And if God were kind to us, He would say, all right, that's fine, because I don't want you to suffer. But no, God loves you. And because He loves you, He wants to make each one of us a masterpiece. We are going to be trophies of grace on display for eternity. And so He's trying to conform us to the image of Christ. And we will never know happiness. We will never know happiness until we allow God's love to work in our lives unhindered. And as long as we resist His working in our lives, whether it be in the area of marriage relationship, in the area of raising family, as long as we resist what He's trying to do, we won't discover fulfillment and happiness like He wants us to have. And remember that God is always seeking your highest good. And so I would really suggest that it should be your prayer and mine that we pray and desire that the Holy Spirit make us authentically like Christ. Now, in winding it up, I thought it might be good just to take a minute or two and have some prayer. And I think it would be good, and let me just suggest some areas, and I'd just like some of you who feel that you'd like to lead out in prayer. And I think it would be good just to have a kind of a commitment on your part, and so I'm going to begin this way. How many of you husbands really feel that God would have you learn to express a greater amount of tenderness toward your wives? Maybe this is something. How many of you feel that way, that you'd like to see prayer in that regard? Okay. How many of you wives really feel that you need to understand and apply some of these concepts of submission to your husband and would like some prayer in this area? Let's see your hand. I know if I ask about children, we'll get all hands up. How many of you really feel that we need some help in this area of disciplining and training our children? See your hands. Figured we'd get a good hand in that area. Now, maybe there's some of you who have a need that we haven't expressed or that hasn't been expressed here that you'd like to share with us that we can pray about. Now, let me just share with you in a moment some things that I've heard shared in groups like this. I've heard men get up and say that they have a temper that they can't control in the marriage relationship, and they would like to benefit from the group praying for them to help them in this area. I've heard wives share that they haven't been submissive, that they haven't really encouraged their husband and strengthened him, and that they want someone to pray that God will help them in that area. I've heard people share tremendous needs in terms of their children. And let's face it, none of us are perfect. We're all in the process. And if you can benefit by having some of us just quickly pray for you, then it would certainly be ridiculous not to share with us. The Bible says that we're supposed to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And how can we do that if we don't know what they are? And it may be that there's someone here who doesn't know the Lord. And we'd like to make that commitment. Or we'd love to see that happen too. Do any of the rest of you have a request that you'd just like to share, that maybe God has really spoken to you and you think that by sharing it with this group it will help bend over a nail for you and will be a milestone in your own marriage? And if your marriage and really means that much to you and you feel impressed with something, allow us the privilege to pray with you about it. Because I'll guarantee you that 90% of us have the same problem. So anybody else just want to share something that you'd like to have us pray about? Yes? To be supportive even when you think he's wrong. Any of the rest of you ever had that problem? Thank you for sharing that. And someone just jot that down in your mind to remember that. Prayer request? Hmm. Boy, isn't that a tough thing to do? And yet it's so important. Partnership rather than parenthood. Yes.
If the children learn by making mistakes, pedagogy, how do you put that?
Pedagogy of failure. Any of the rest of you ever had that problem? It's great to know that we share a common fraternity. Yes?
To be able, by the grace of God, to maintain priorities of personal, family, church, and then world.
Well, I can ask someone to pray for me in that regard, too. Tremendous need for priorities. Someone make a note of that and remember to pray for it. Yes? I think this same idea was shared over here. But let someone make a note of that to pray for it. Yes? And the rest of you feel the same need. Okay, someone make a note of that, or a couple of you, and pray for it. Yes? To be willing to talk more. Any of the rest of you husbands have that problem, communication? How about wives? Okay, so we're really dealing in problems that we're wrestling with. So a couple of you make a note of this in your mind that you're going to remember this. And you had a request, sir. Grow spiritually as a family. Boy, isn't that a tremendous need that we all have. Someone make a note to pray for that. We don't want to be here all night, so when we do pray, make them short and sweet. But a couple other requests. Yes. Pray for your temper. Boy, I appreciate you sharing that. And someone make a note. Pray for that. Wipe me out here in a minute. It's great to see. Yes. See some heads nodding. I can see we're getting down to reality here, too. Someone make a note to pray for that request. Someone else. Yes. Well, we all need to have openness before God and each other. Got time for one more.
You'll pray for wives.
You know, that's so tough. It really is difficult. And that's a prayer request that we all need, to be able to pray with our wives. So important. Well, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's not scrape the Milky Way when we pray. We're not lapping the mission field tonight. Pray very, very short and succinctly about one thing so that we can remember these requests before God. And then quietly in your own hearts, just pray that God will seal these things in your own experience. So that we're not going away from here just having heard some good concepts, or we're going away as different people. So let's spend some time in prayer, and then I'll close just in a few minutes. Just feel free to lead out. Maybe you ought to stand and speak up. Don't be afraid to stand. The Lord isn't concerned about the words that we use, so don't impress us with your words. Just simply say what's on your heart, and we'll all be identifying and probably weeping with you too. So I won't hurt us a bit. Let's pray.